All right. Here we are. Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'd like to welcome you to the July 20th, 2022 regular meeting of the Board of Kingston Commission. Comments from those in attendance will be allowed upon recognition of the chair. Please identify yourself by stating your name. If you would like to be added to the agenda for a future meeting, please contact the board office at least 1 week prior to the regularly scheduled meeting. And then please submit your documents and or presentations at the time of your request. This is a preliminary agenda and is subject to change. And I would like to call the meeting to order. And if we could all please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. So I think the flag is that way. Yep, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can everybody hear Steve okay?
Barely.
Oh, you can? Really? Oh, okay. I'm usually pretty loud, so. Move that thing over a little. No, that's all right, I think. Yeah, how's that? Is that better? Can you guys hear me? Oh, I can put my glasses on so I can see you all.
Can you guys hear us now?
Can you hear us all right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that better? Great. Okay, so we have before us a draft agenda, and I entertain a motion regarding the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Very good. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, excellent. Well, next up, we have a public comment period, and I see we do have some folks in attendance here. Let's see how we should do this. I've got, who do we have here? We have someone on iPhone, Jay-Z, and generic e-care.
But he says he doesn't know why he came up as that.
Okay.
It's Anthony Hickman.
His name in real life is Mark Bryan.
Oh, okay. Do any of you, what we typically do in with folks that are Zooming in is there's a chat line. And so you can chat a quick little message to us if you want to make any comment at this time. We do have another comment period toward the end of the meeting. Not seeing any chatting.
Or you can raise your hand if you know how to do that.
I think there's a raise your hand thing as well, which is, where is that?
I don't see anybody.
Yeah, I'm not seeing anyone. Okay, well, we'll carry on with the meeting then.
iPhone has its hand up.
Oh, he does.
No, I just was acknowledging that I'm here.
Okay, okay.
My name's Tony Hitchman. I'm live.
Okay,
well,
Tony. All right.
Three go.
Hello, Tony.
Welcome.
Hi, Ray.
All right, great. Excellent. Well, we'll move on here. Item 5, the consent agenda. I'll read this through. These matters are routine and will be enacted by one motion of the commission with no separate discussion. If discussion is desired, that item may be removed from the consent agenda by a commissioner. And the items are twofold: approve the June 22nd regular meeting minutes, and then the approval of the June 22nd warrants and EFT payments. So I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Very good. And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Excellent. Okay, and then we're moving to the financial report.
Okay, can everybody hear me all right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so the profit and loss for the month of June, which is the last page of your packet, we have $310,000 in total income for the month. We have $198,000 in expenses and $21,000 in net ordinary income. We have $250,000 in net ordinary income year to date. Our cash balance is $2.4 million, with $1.7 million being set aside for capital projects. We made a payment to our bond, so our balance now is $739,500. And so after debt, our cash balance is roughly $2.3 million. One thing that we will be adjusting is some of these totals will be a little bit different than what we publish on the website, because now that we're catching up on everything, we'll post those. But I want to go over it with Greg first. And so the biggest change is going to be our depreciation expense. That has to be included in our direct expenses so that we match the state auditor's office. But we will continue to report to you you know, the totals without depreciation, that kind of thing. So,
right.
But we do want to just, I want to make a note that those that will be published will be in line with the state auditor's office before, for whatever reason, they chose to report it outside of that.
Gotcha.
Just makes it cleaner.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to point out, too, if you look at the monthly P&L, you can see that our parking is doing really well. We have our parking is above is ahead of budget.
I don't think yay.
So that's really good, and we're also doing really well on our other the mortgage and everything else is online with budget, so we're looking really good.
That's great.
Yeah.
So that's about the profit for parking is above the expectation.
Yes.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Right. I noticed the, maybe that's the purchase of the plants for the in the landscaping on the report, the June report, on the very last page. $4,072.89. I'm guessing that's the.
Oh yeah,
the plants.
Plants. That seems
an unusual sort of monthly thing. But
yeah. Yes.
The hanging baskets.
The hanging baskets. Yep. Right. I was always curious what we contributed for that. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other questions? Mary, do you have anything for the order here on that? Okay, great.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Does that sound a little better now?
Much better.
Okay.
But you were horrible.
Oh,
I see. She did something magical, though.
I finally made the owl work. It was on the computer audio.
Oh, I see. And the owl is taking over that. Now I hope I'm not too loud. Okay. Well, that's gone pretty quickly, actually. That's really the nuts and bolts of the meeting today. We'll have commissioner reports coming up, but we do have another opportunity for public comment right now. Should anyone want to chime in on anything or...
Well, before we start that, I wanted to ask if Greg has a director's report, mostly because I'm very interested in knowing what the status is of the Wenslow contract.
Oh, right. Well, we could, switch things around a little bit here if we want to.
You want that under staff? Yeah, whatever you want.
Okay. Yeah.
We can do it under, but probably public comment, if there's any questions they have that they want answered sometimes. Make sure they get their request in.
So the generic eCare, is that the person who's from Rainier?
Mark Ryan.
That's Mr. Mark Ryan.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Oh. Not seeing. Who can, is it audio better? Yes.
Oh, did you see? Oh, you were looking at the chat there, Greg? Yeah.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay.
So if you ask a question via this, you can ask it to everyone, or you can ask a very specific person. If you go to two and there's a little drop down arrow, instead of saying everyone, you can send a chat to someone specific.
Yes, right.
Normally you would ask a question though in public, it goes to everyone. It's a public document.
Right.
So, you can just say, ask your question to everyone, and then we have an answer. We have one, or we'll get back to you with an answer.
Yeah, what I might mention as well in relation to this public meeting as well is that you can always go on to the website. And should you have any specific questions or want to raise anything, you can go to the website. You can actually make comment or email the office or something like that, and your email will get shifted to whoever it needs to go to. So whether or not you're emailing the full commission or what, that's a possibility as well. We like to be open door sort of policy here. And then who is this? Okay, so I see
the Green Patch of Iowa and Northeast Kingston Road 104
Iowa. No, that's, I think that property you're talking about there
parking lot
is that the parking lot you mean? That DOT, it's a wildly overgrown and can't see traffic. Oh, okay.
That's not port then.
Well, if the overgrown area is on 104, in the right-of-way part of 104, it would be state DOT that would be in charge of it. But if you're on West Kingston and Iowa, let's see, Patch of Iowa in Northeast Kingston Road. It might be Kitsap County Public Works, possibly. The county has a thing called Click Fix, I think, that is on the county website, which is kitsapgov.com. And it's called See Click Fix. And what I would do is take a look at that and see if the county is responsible for that corner and you can't see traffic coming through there, that they would be able to resolve that. That'd be Kitsap County Public Works Roads Division. So that See Click Fix, things happen very fast if you're very specific about it. So
you mean C, like the letter C?
S-E-E.
S-E-E. Okay.
C, and then you click, and then it gets fixed. So that it's a pretty responsive system, and it's based on your information. So I'd suggest going on to that. I'm gonna just write it down as a note, though.
It sounds like the diamond lot up there.
I think it might be by the. Okay, very good. Which side of 104?
You said the northwest corner.
Yeah, gotcha. I'm going to look into it too. 104 and Iowa. Very good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for your question.
Anyone else that has any comment? Mary, do you want... did you want to have Greg go ahead first, or
what's YW mean?
Or
why? I just have,
yeah.
staff comments, and then then I can go last.
You're welcome.
Oh. However you want to do it, Greg.
Okay, let's go through the staff comments. We'll get them in, and then if there's any exploratory discussion, we can do that. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Who'd like to start?
Bob Adam E. Trustee holds the title. That might be the old Sears building, is what? Is that, are you talking about the place where the tent is set up? Behind the Coffee Oasis? No.
Yeah, okay. I think it's the next street down. It's by the further east. Yeah, that's right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it's in the easement, it's going to be a county thing.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. County or state.
Right.
Yeah.
West. Oh, now he says west.
West of there. Yeah. Okay. Yes, I know what you mean now. I'm going to look into that because I'm curious about that too. Yep.
Yep.
Do we want to carry on with commissioner reports then, Mary?
I'm looking forward to the Washington Public Sports Association commissioner's workshops next week. And that's really the primary report I have.
I also am looking forward to attending that conference next week. I think that's going to be really good. I also thoroughly enjoyed our Tuesday meeting with Mayor Erickson and listening to what she had to say and getting different perspectives on things that have to do with economic development and things like that. And her input, the experience, the vast experience that she has in doing stuff like this, I felt was really important. It just, yeah. You know, times have, like she said, her quote, the times have changed, and that it's up to us what we need for the future to recognize what it is. And so it's really, but I really appreciate her coming. And then also Jim Darling, who gave us updates on IDD and what's surrounding that, and those things are, it's always really good to get these informational things. And so next week at the WPPA, that's also going to be another, we're going to feel like sponges, Mary.
Yeah, that's for sure.
That's mine.
Okay. Well, I will not be able to attend that. I'm sad to say. I really was looking forward to that. And also just to be able to visit Eastern Washington, which is near and dear to my heart. But I don't really have anything to report other than I did really appreciate Jim Darling's presentation about the Industrial Development District and taking us through the nuts and bolts of that. It's really, I mean, it's not complicated, but it is a different way, to think, and I'm looking forward to exploring that a little bit further. Okay, let's see. So, commissioner reports are checked off the list. Is there anything else for the good of the order, Mary, for that? You're okay?
Nope.
Awesome. Okay, let's move on to staff reports then. Who's going to start?
I'll start with the maintenance side of things. Well, we made it through the 4th unscathed, really. It was playing well, and we made it through, so all hands on deck kind of effort. It was a great success. Weather held out really nice. Everything on our end held together. And then, real quick, I've heard nothing but kudos to the staff about the Salish 100 this morning. I was stopped by probably no less than 60 people and got 80 comments that said we were wonderful. They can't wait to come back. So Ray, the puzzle you put together with this every year, and all of y'all really put this thing together. It's a big hit in that tiny sailboat world. It's a unique group. It's fun to have them here every year. Well done. As far as maintenance goes, current projects, the bird deterrents seem to be working pretty good. It's keeping the gulls away. Gulls haven't been back, but now there's some sort of tern that has moved in. They're smaller.
Caspian terns. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're a little harder to persuade.
Of course.
Yeah, it might be a nighttime operation.
And they're a fish-eating bird, too. So.
Is that right? Yeah. So, that brings we have these schools of whatever they are in the bay right now, so that makes complete sense why they're here. Mm-hmm. They're not big, but they don't gather like the gulls did, and they don't appear to be making a mess. And the best I can count, there's about 20 of them. So I'll figure out who the leader is and change their mind. But when the sprayers go off, they do leave, but then they come back. So, and now they're following these little fish, and I see them. I'm glad we meet. Let's see. So that's working, but we'll see. Hopefully it keeps the turns up. The guest dock Wi-Fi, the conduit's going in. Looks like we have all the parts and pieces that we need so far, and the next piece of that will be running the Cat 6 wire once the conduit's in. We're a little restricted by tide on that, just because the tide gets so low, we can't get the little bitty, I call it the bathtub, the little workboat between the breakwater and the guest dock, just because all the obstacles there. So we had to wait for the water to come back and minor delay. But so the conduit's going in and it's underway and moving forward. We had our Department of Ecology underground storage tank inspection last week. We're currently not in compliance. There's no threat of a leak. All the systems that need to be working are working. We didn't pass a vacuum test on top of the tanks where the fill connector is. There's a spill boot, they call it a spill bucket, around that fill. So when the hose is connected or disconnected, if there's anything that comes out of that hose, it's contained in there. Well, that boot has a couple cracks in it. Mm-hmm. So I already had a contractor come out, took a look, took pictures, measured, and calculated what they need to do to improve that. He said these are amazingly, they've held up well considering these were put in 2007. They haven't been replaced since the tanks went in. Of course, there's upgraded versions of what's in there now, but I haven't seen a quote from that yet as far as cost. But it will be a day of concrete cutting to open those up and then take the old stuff out and then slip these new spill buckets in place. Mm-hmm. Standard order, work for these guys that do it. We had to have a licensed contractor that has done this work so they can sign off on the correct ecology paperwork. And they want to know who did it. So the right people are involved. It's just a matter now getting on their schedule.
Nice question. Yes. Did the inspector give you a timeline for when this needs to be done by?
We need to be, it needs to be scheduled within 45 days.
Okay.
Really, we're just days or maybe even this afternoon of getting a quote and moving forward. So we're well within that window. As far as that was really the only piece that took us out of compliance, and then just some basic signage was upgraded on the fuel dock as far as emergency contacts and emergency shutoff, just to make it bigger, bolder, brighter, so there's no question about where the shutoff switch is. Mm-hmm. Other than that, it went well. We have a new rep from Ecology for our area. The last one has been with Ecology for 30 years, knew her job very well and was in and out. Inspections went pretty smooth before, and now with this new person, things were slowed down a little bit. Mm-hmm. It was about a 3-hour process, checking paperwork and things like that. But that went well. We'll just have to fix the spill buckets at the tank. And floats and alarms and everything are working good, though. So
excellent.
And then I'm trying to Yeah, as far as the next project with the office, the AC unit is really on its last leg. I just don't think it's worth fixing it again. We've been going through this as long as I've been around, so almost 3 years. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like it's been kind of glitched out and having issues.
Up or down?
Both.
I agree.
So right now it's icebox cold upstairs, and it's blowing 75 degree air downstairs. The last HVAC tech that was out said he's going to do what he can to keep this thing going and blowing cold air upstairs, downstairs for now. But we're waiting on two parts, and we'll see. But I do have quotes to replace it with an upstairs unit and a downstairs unit. Single amount.
Separate.
Everybody
units.
Has respective controls.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the best case scenario. Mm-hmm. So just to split it. And that unit, I guess, is about, the one that's there now is about, 5 years old? When was the remodel done?
18. Yeah.
18.
2018,
so,
yeah.
And the last tech looked at it and ran serial numbers. He didn't really know how old it was, but he said it's older than a 2018.
Oh.
So I don't think we got a new unit. But so we'll upgrade it from where it's at. That's,
yeah.
We'll leave it at that. And then, that timeline's moving forward.
So. Cool.
And then just normal maintenance, yeah. Day-to-day stuff's going well.
Awesome.
Thank you, Tori.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I don't have anything specific to talk about. I just to let you know that we're starting to work on the budget, getting some of that stuff lined up. We have some line of business reporting that we are going to go over with Greg, and then once we do that, we'll share that with you. We're going to have all the financials posted on our website. So we just have a lot of things that are in the works that we just need to put the final touches on, and then we'll be excited to share that information with all of you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Great.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Ray.
I'd first like to start off about the parking. The parking has been phenomenal recently, and there's good reason. Kissip Transit has something to do with that, running on Saturdays. The market on Sundays has a lot to do with it. And I think just general people getting out into enjoying themselves, going across. Edmonds has been having a lot of things going on over there, so people have been parking at the port and moving over to the other side of the water. So it's been really fun for that. A few years ago, we reached out to Argosy's Cruises from Seattle, and we started kind of getting involved with them as far as maybe using the port as a drop-off and a pickup area and trying to make some financial moves with them. And mm-hmm. COVID hit, so we had to cancel 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 of those adventures that were coming to the Port of Kingston. Well, Rose was good enough that they reached out to her recently, and so we've kind of hooked up with them again, trying to restart that process. So they got a drop-off coming in for about 3 or 4 hours or whatnot. Coming up here soon, and when they had mentioned to Rose that there's probably going to be, another 100 parking spots potentially. I mean, that's always a good thought too on a Friday or Saturday if we can provide it. So,
oh right.
So that'll be a nice thing. It's an 86-foot boat that's coming in out to the big dock at the end out there. So
mm-hmm. wow.
that's promising for all of us to hopefully move forward with that. So
mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to say, the 4th of July was absolutely wonderful. The staff did a great job, every top to bottom. The parade was fun. I mean, everybody that I saw certainly seemed like they enjoyed themselves.
We didn't run out of candy.
No, we didn't.
Thank you.
So some of the office.
Was that you? Nice job.
Yeah. You got to get more. Greg was adamant about that. He's like, we're not running out of candy, you guys. I don't care what we do. We're not running out of candy. So Greg was selling. But, it was probably, out of all the years I've been here, this was probably the most controlled, well done. I mean, it was just really a joy to see everybody's looks on their face. I mean, granted, you're going to have one or two offs that probably don't contribute so well, but everything overall I felt was just really done phenomenal. I think the leadership from the 4th of July committee, getting Dani Goodfellow involved, she's very structured. I mean, they did a really good job. So, and I'd like to say that we contributed to quite a bit. So I know that the Yacht Club did very well with the beer can again, Greg, sorry, but they did, but good for them. There's a lot of people there. The bands played really well. A lot of people were impressed with the two bands that were there. And the Salish 100, yeah, it's a phenomenal thing. It really is. It's kind of grown into my heart with these people here, seeing these little boats. And I want to thank Tori for coming down there and taking some pictures. We had our friend Tim come down there, and he was taking pictures too for us locally. And
Tim hopefully, Davis, yeah.
So hopefully we'll get something for that. Maybe we can put a few things on our website about it and stuff like that. The other thing I wanted to talk about was the park. I have moved forward, and I apologize to you commissioners and anybody in the community of me dragging my feet as far as getting that park back up in order. I did have contractors come out there and look at what I see right there and gave me a huge quote on it. So I called one of my close friends that's here locally. He's been doing trees for 60 years, Doug Fields, and I asked him to take a walk through out there, and he did. So we conversed afterwards. We both saw the same thing. And as far as what needs to be done at that park right there, as far as the trees, because as you well know, when you have a place with trees and you have slough and you have all the undergrowth, that helps feed all the trees over the years. But if you take that out and put grass in, you're losing all the nutrients when they break down for the trees. So our trees, unfortunately, the Madronas have suffered significantly, and so they're going to have to come down. There's a lot of dead ones at the bottom. They're really notorious for getting funguses, and these trees have them all. We got standing dead ones. And then the other tree that we have there is really interesting that people don't pay attention to, and I mean this respectfully, of course, is the maple tree. The maple tree has one big stalk that goes up the middle, and then it'll have smaller ones that go up. But when the big tree, the main stalk, gets bigger, it starts pushing on the other ones and making them lean. So we have one that's kind of leaning toward the neighbor's house here that we're going to have to identify and take over too. So it's on my radar. Meeting with a guy here after I get done with the meeting today. I did tell Greg, and I apologize, that I thought that I could realistically maybe get it done by August 1st to get the park opened up, but that's not, I was just talking out the side of my neck, if you will. I'm pushing forward. I got more contractors coming in. I did reach out to Asfund, and they are contracted by the power company. I tried a long shot and just tell them that some of these trees will be going toward the power lines to see if I can get them in there.
So, oh, yeah.
You know, just to try to throw that out there.
So yeah, they were just they're
going to get back to me, because that way we can save financially on that one there. Yeah. Otherwise, it's going to be a big one. But there will have to be somebody climbing the trees for sure to get the widowmakers. There was about 80 feet up in the air up there, but if we're going to have them climb that high, we might as well have them check out the whole tree to see if there's any potential widowmakers in the future. So yeah, it is a big deal, and like I said, I'm sorry that I haven't gotten forward on it, but talking with Greg, we're gonna move forward on and come up with a really good game plan. I'd like to incorporate, as I do this, some sort of plan that maybe we can use the park for a wedding venue next year or something, just so we can utilize the park and make it work. So again, commissioners, that we'll be moving forward, and hopefully I'll have some success. Well, I will have some success.
Mary, you have something?
Yeah.
Yeah, last time we talked about this, I think the statement was really clearly made that it was one tree. But it sounds like you're saying, Ray, that it's more than one tree.
Yeah, there's some serious... And I was going to ask these guys, Mary, to break it up. So, I mean, to which ones are the worst, you know, come with the game plan. Maybe we take five down now and then, you know, five next year, or do we do it all at once to see if I can get a price break on it? But I got local tree climbers and stuff that I'm meeting with today that hopefully they'll try to help understand, you know, to help us out in a better manner. You know what I mean? So it's not so costly.
Yeah, an arborist will do what's called a risk assessment.
Yeah.
So they'll identify the trees and then rate the trees as to its the highest concern to the lowest and go with that. And
yeah,
that's typically how that runs with trees within critical areas and that type of thing too.
Yeah.
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 You recommended on the chat WAG tree service.
Yeah. Oh, WAG. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. I know them well too.
Yep.
So we got a lot of good local ones too here, so but game plan is being made, so I just want to get to know that and try to take some of the, you know, that way we can share that with the community that we're moving forward. Right? Like I said, the other things that are going on, a busy time, I just kind of hit but I will now. So,
no worries. That's great.
The other thing I was going to talk about was is that the other big one that's coming up here is the Wine and Brew Fest at Port of Kingston, and that'll be a good one. They have put out a wonderfully put together map of what they're going to do here in Carson. And I asked them to send it over to Greg to make sure Greg sees any, if he sees any flaws in it, so we can move forward and try to get the fire marshal down there sooner and later. And I mean, I think the chamber's done a really good job with the people that they have in place. I think I think they're doing an amazing job and representing Kingston. And I think this will be proof of it. You know, when we pull this one off, if you will, you know, so we'll try to get that trifecta as far as the 4th of July and this, and, you know, one other event. And then the Fish and Derby, they're moving forward with that. They put, it's going to be a lot of fun for me. Only 150 spots. It's going to go sell out right away, probably. So we're going to help promote that. Kiwanis does has a spot on the wall over there for sponsorship. For the chamber, so we're just going to include that banner up that to help include, you know, promoting the Fish and Derby as well. So
I know they went live on ticket sales.
Yeah.
So I'm real curious just to see how that's gone.
Yeah. So it'll be a lot of fun, and hopefully it just gets better and better, you know, as the years go on with their sponsorship. So other than that, we're moving forward. We got a lot of busy. We got a couple yacht clubs in there this weekend. Not very big ones. They canceled out due to COVID. So you know, some of the memberships. So, but we continually have a full guest dock. So it's, you know, it's a lot of fun, and the tenants are spending more time down on their boats, which is good to help keep it clean and manageable. And gas prices are gas prices, fuel prices. Yeah, that's all.
Right.
So anyway, that's what I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray.
Well, yeah, good job, Ray. And thank you for the clarification on the property and trying to get that open back up. So, and I know Mark Ryan had asked, and he wasn't the only one. So we just have to make sure when we open it that it's, we do it safely and just what is. So we appreciate those efforts though, of being diligent, thorough. So, Mary, Commissioner McClure asked about what the status is. So we had a special meeting 8 days ago, and that was to get approval, or I'm a little bit out of it. That was to get approval from the commission to enter into a contract with Architectural Services, Charlie Wenslow Architects. And or Wenslow Architects, actually, is what is the name. So we have executed the contract, and we just had some discussions. They've been asking. We did have our first meeting this morning, and they asked for, you know, a lot of information, you know, background information, in order to start coming up with different things. They've been going over. They had questions about information we already have on our website, so we went over that. So they're going to be. They're going to try to put it together some concepts pretty rapidly, and they just asked questions, really, as mainly what we did is we talked about different thoughts, and Mark Horton and I met with them this morning and talked about it. Some of it was getting access to some of the data that we have, but getting like the CAD drawings that we have in CAD so that they can actually use those drawings actually to scale. So whatever they develop, they don't have to go back over the same ground.
Cool.
So we will, there's just kind of was more generalized information that we were going over, and they can talk about some of their thoughts, overall concepts. I think they're gonna be moving pretty rapidly. So we talked about what the schedule now, the contract calls for bi-weekly meetings, which really makes sense because they're going to have to develop a lot of work product. And we talked about scheduling to come in and have some public meetings, and also talk with the commission too.
Yeah.
So that'll be coming up. I know two of the commissioners, you're out next week, and they need a little time in order to collate all this information. And they're also going to be looking at all the zoning and all the constraints with the whole site. I know that they've been out there, they toured the site too, and we're looking at it, you know, putting their eyes on it and actually walking the grounds quite a bit. So They're doing their homework, and then they're going to come up with a number of different concepts. And then they'll come up, we'll also be talking a little bit more about trying to come up with a more, as things develop and unfold, a more detailed schedule. We did talk about, what we're trying to do and get enough information out in front of you, the commission, as well as the public, so that when we come around, because if we are going to move forward with this commercial development, it also parallels with this whole effort of putting forward an industrial development district and putting that as an option and do all the due diligence and outreach with the public as well. And because that would involve, staff. I can tell you, we were already saying that we're probably going to recommend we pass an IDD, which is a property tax, and that property tax would go towards this commercial development specifically.
Yeah.
So that's, just to put it out there, that's kind of what we're putting in our newsletter. It's not like a big secret or anything we've talked for a while, but we'll go through this real thorough process. And that was also why we're going to get Jim Garling. I was at the WPPA Executive Director's meeting this last week, I talked to Jim Garling on the phone. I got sick, unfortunately, so I've been out of it up until I'm coming on the other side of it today for sure. But I'll get Jim Garling to put out more information, put together a real specific. I'll put out a more specific timeline and discussion points and when we have public meetings so that there's enough public outreach so that people are better informed.
Again, we talked about this last week, the importance of making sure that some essential concepts are paired with the discussion of the IDD. In other words, what are people paying for?
Right.
I would really love to see a schedule that laid those two things out together so that we could get a good feel for that.
And I agree 100%. And we'll put that together and present that to you, presumably by, well, we'll have it to you sooner than, we'll have it probably put something together here. I was hoping this week, but I'll do something by next week. I'm back in the saddle, I think, pretty quick here.
And I asked last week if he would be meeting with the commissioners, and which I'm hoping happens pretty early in his process.
Yeah.
So won't be next week, obviously, because we won't all be here. But would like to do that early.
Totally. I think we would have probably met next Tuesday. If it didn't coincide with the commission conference, but
Tuesday is isn't Tuesday a travel day? Or no, that's Monday.
No,
never mind. Sorry.
But they got some work to do before they're going to just start. But they'll also be collating a lot of information. They're going over everything. They're going over a lot of kind of processing it.
Yeah,
they have more questions than anything.
Yeah.
And then they wanted our stuff electronically too.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm bored with you though, Commissioner and Commissioners. Went to the WPPA Executive Directors. This one was actually they're all very actually really useful. But this one they went and did conducted tours of Port of Friday Harbor, Port of Anacortes, and then it was hosted at the Port of Bellingham. And there was just really interesting. It's a couple things that were very, really, really interesting. Port of Friday Harbor has been working on redeveloping some of their marina, and they've been doing it themselves. Now they have a West Point engineer. He came out of the Army Corps of Engineers. He's a real engineer from West Point, graduated from West Point Academy. So they did, a number of engineering design work on their own marina. Then they've been doing some of their own fabrication and assembly of dock sections. So that was just kind of interesting what they've come up with. Port of Anacortes is thriving, doing super well. They have a much, much larger marina than we do, but their marina is just really chock-block full. They're doing very, very well. What was striking was that Uplands is doing so well for all the leases and real estate development. Everything they have going in Anacortes, as well as at Mellingham. They have a wait list for lessees on real estate, on all their real estate holding at Mellingham. Mellingham has really extensive real estate development. And I talked to Rob Fix, their executive director, because I used to go up to Bellingham, and you know, quite a bit. And so anyway, I drove around there and I said, I'm just staggered by how much square footage you guys have and the variety of businesses. And he said, Greg, we have so much, we're actually looking at acquiring quite a bit more property just to do redevelopment in order to attract and hold so many businesses that want to locate here. He said it's just really something else. So, and the same in Anacortes. And one of the things, I mean, I was really familiar with Anthony's Restaurants from Seattle. And interestingly, Bud Gould, who he's the one that started Anthony's, I believe they're up, he said they're up close to 24 restaurants.
Oh, wow.
And they're all doing very well. But Bud really, and his son and daughter have taken over the business, and he's been working with them for a number of years now. But Bud came in to Anacortes. It was really interesting because I used to fish on it when, of course, way back. He put a restaurant right this one right next to the Net Lofts. Not in a spot I would have probably picked for a restaurant, but he put it right there, and it is close to the guest dock. That's the number two restaurant for Anthony's.
Okay.
Out of the whole portfolio of restaurants. And it's not a massive restaurant. Now, I know in Seattle that they were doing, I think a million in rent between the two restaurants, the two Anthony's that they have in Seattle. I was really surprised. Anacortes has about 15,000 people. So to be the number two out of all the portfolio, that's really saying something.
Yeah.
And it speaks to, well, I was also really impressed with the number of guest nights. And I want to, you know, I also want to applaud the staff. You know, we talked about really aggressively when the pandemic hit, we lost all that parking revenue, but boating seemed to be strengthening, that we really ramped up on our guest dock. Boy, that's the kind of thing that really has paid off for a lot of those restaurants, because they don't have maybe, you know, they have good demand, and then of course there's no people, there's people, but to be number two and beat Seattle, at least one of the restaurants in Seattle.
That's amazing.
One's at the cruise terminal, and the other one's a fisherman's terminal.
Oh wow,
that's pretty amazing. So anyway, it's just as context that they seem to be thriving and doing quite well with their commercial Uplands development, and so I hope that segues into what we might try to accomplish, and I hope that it provides value and economic development opportunity in Kingston. That's all I had to say for now. I'm back in the saddle. I was sick, definitely back, feeling better. I'm definitely on the other side of it, and I don't have some, you know, I'm feeling pretty decent, actually, relatively. But I'll be back probably on Monday. And the other thing I want to make sure, we have the new administrative services manager, Chris Williams. She starts on Monday.
Great.
And she comes out of a credit union, and I am really excited to work with her. And I think everybody is going to be excited to work with her. She's going to be really a fantastic addition, I hope we all welcome her. And when we see her on Monday, I should be able to be back in Monday. Everything, I think I'll meet all the criteria to be able to be back at work.
Right, right. Very good. Excellent. Thank you, Greg. Let's see. I heard her say
July
that.
July and the Salish, so that's all I'm really happy.
I would be really curious with the port of Anacortes. In fact, I'm going to go on their website later and look and see what their vision is, what their mission statement is, what's their ultimate goal. I mean, you know, if they have that much development going on,
It would be really curious to see where they're going with it or where they want to go with it and how it works in conjunction with the actual city of Anacortes.
Anacortes, and they have a little bit different, you know, one of the things I think that, you know, is there's some distinct differences both between Bellingham, Anacortes, and then, of course, us. Because they're both incorporated cities.
Right.
Yeah.
They have an economic development engine that they're a big part of because they're the center for an awful lot of businesses.
Right.
So whether you're on the port district, you're also within the city district. So there's so many commonalities. We don't, you know, being unincorporated Kitsap County. So right. I don't want to overstate it, but, you know, we're a transportation hub.
Right.
And I think that lends an awful lot of opportunity to us. And I think, you know, I think one thing I really appreciate about Mayor Erickson and I think you three commissioners, that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we're here to serve the people that live in Kingston and the Port District, right? First and foremost. But what I like about some of these other ones, it's not, you don't have to make a choice, it's not either or. Can serve people in the Port District, and you can attract other, you know, other people to the area, including businesses that create jobs and really good jobs, and a diverse number of jobs, but also recreational opportunities. So I think I just like the fact that there was a diversity of all these different lines of business, and they don't have one, you know, one trick pony that's kind of doing everything for them. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would be, I think it's worthwhile. Maybe I can also look up and grab some of the stuff from Bellingham and Anacortes.
Yeah, that's the one good thing, that's not the one good thing. There's many good things about the WPPA, but one of those things is the fact that we get to be associated with these ports that are from very tiny, small ports, and they kind of stair-step up to these huge ports that just have all this going on and all this, you know, and it just kind of, it's such a range of what people are going to accomplish, can accomplish, how, you know, that the choices are there. What do you want to do? You know, where are we going? What's our vision? What's our, you know, it's just, but it's good to be exposed to that and see the difference and the levels of what it all can, what it is.
Yeah, I was 18 when I came out here to commercially finish. So when I go to Anacortes, I viewed it almost really through that when I was 18 years old. I haven't been to Friday Harbor for 33 years. That's the first date I went on with my wife. So when I went into Friday Harbor, it didn't look like Friday Harbor that I remembered from when I met my wife. I mean, it was totally different. And Bellingham was also really about a commercial fishing port, as was Anacortes. So they've evolved into something very diverse, very vibrant, and really thriving. I asked them how much they felt the pandemic and the decentralization of some of the businesses, how much that's had to do with it. They said it's definitely been a real advantage they felt like to get to be outside of, you know, to attract businesses up into their area. And then they said, you know, the reality is there's growth in population. And they said, you know what, you just can't, you're not going to stop it. And they're on the I-5 corridor, but they said, you know, we just see the growth numbers. And the reality is people are moving up out of California. Businesses are trying to relocate from other parts of the country where it's not so great, and the quality of life up here is so good overall. Mm-hmm. And so they felt that had a lot to do with it too, but it's just this generalized pressure. It's just moving in. It's moving up.
Yeah, that's kind of one of those things that we've talked about, you know? I mean, we know growth is going to happen. It's just how do we really want it to happen? What do we really want to happen? You know, it's not, we're not Bellingham. We're not Anacortes.
No.
But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, Kingston is its own little, you know, its own little hub, that, you mm-hmm. know, transportation hub. And what does that look like? What do people want it to look like? What do people around here, you know, want it to be? Because there is going to be some growth. We see that with Arborwood and with Seaside and all these, but making sure it turns out to what everyone wants to see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 100%.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you all. I think we've got...
there was a comment about chain link fence. Did you see that, Ray?
Yeah, saw that. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Well, I think then we'll go on to our announcing the next regular meeting, and just for you folks in attendance, what we do is we alternate meetings to get to see if we get additional folks interested in the. In the Port of Kingston regular meetings. So we alternate. We have 1 o'clock, and then we alternate the next month to 6:30 p.m. So our next regular meeting will be Wednesday, August 24th, 2022 at 6:30 p.m. Hybrid meeting. Will it be at the Village Green or maybe the Yacht Club?
I think it'll be back at the Yacht Club.
Yacht Club, yeah. Okay, right. Yep. And I think that's it. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
So moved.
Second.
And all in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, we are adjourned.
Thank you.
Thank you.